Let's talk now to the Tánaiste and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar. Good afternoon, Tánaiste, and thanks for talking to us this afternoon. Can I ask you first of all about this additional allocation announced by Ursula von der Leyen this morning, of which 46,500 will be coming to this country. Now, the EU says that it's for border areas and COVID hotspots. What's your understanding of how this allocation is expected to be used here?
Well, as you know, there has been a slippage on timelines. And some deliveries have been pushed back. That's out of our control, but I know it is very frustrating and undermines confidence. But we are making good progress too. There's the announcement today that we'll receive an extra 46,000 Pfizer vaccines. We'll receive them before the end of this month, and we hadn't actually anticipated getting them before the end of March, and now we know we will. And tomorrow we anticipate that Johnson & Johnson, their vaccine, will be approved by the EMA at the single dose jab, and we should receive about 600,000 of them in April, May and June. So some delays, which I know are frustrating and we're sorry about, but out of our control, but also making a lot of progress too. You know, over 100,000 people over 80 have already received their vaccine. A lot of progress made in the nursing homes, staff and residents vaccinated. As you heard this morning from Colm Henry of the HSC, COVID has now almost disappeared as a severe disease in our nursing homes. And who would have thought that possible a few weeks ago?
We also know, Tánaiste, that only 2 weeks ago, the Taoiseach was promising, and I quote, by the end of March, we will have administered 1.25 million doses. Now, the HSE has made it clear we'll be hundreds of thousands short of that target. Is it still realistic to expect that there'll be a million doses administered a month through the months of April, May and June?
Well, you know, the estimates do change all the time, unfortunately, and, you know, we try to level with people by giving them the most up-to-date information. But the downside of that is that the information does change. So we still think we'll have about 1.1 doses will have arrived in the country by the 31st of March, but some of them may arrive on the 31st of March, so it's going to take 3 or 4 days before they actually get into people's arms. And then, you know, in around a million doses arriving in April, and then higher figures in May.
In
and June,
around a million in April.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Roughly a million or just under, 1.25 in May and 1.68 in June. But like I said, that can change and will change.
Not a million a month in May, in April then?
The current projection is just under that, between 950,000 and a million, 1.25 in May and 1.6 or 1.7 in June. But again, you know, I have to caveat that this does come with a health warning that deliveries are out of our control and the schedules change regularly. So, for example, we're still saying that we'll get 1.1 or 1.2 million by the 31st of March. If that goes below that, those may arrive a few days later, in which case we would get more than a million in April, but it would be a matter of a few days.
You see, you'll understand, people have been told that vaccination is our way out of this, is our way out of lockdown. And again, we see these targets been missed. We see the government over-promising and under-delivering.
No, what we're doing is we're being open, upfront and frank with people. You know, we get estimates from the companies as to when vaccines will deliver. And rather than refusing to share that information with the public, we share it with the public. But, you know, we do it on the understanding that we're not in control of the manufacturing. We're not under control of the delivery. And we do have to adjust our plans and adjust them all the time. And, so, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it's been negative news in terms of deliveries not arriving or being deferred. Positive news today that we're getting an advanced order of Pfizer vaccines and Johnson & Johnson being approved tomorrow.
And that Johnson & Johnson information to the EU yesterday that there are production problems, at least some of the 55 million doses that J&J has promised to the EU may not be delivered. How will that affect the plans for the programme here? Is it going to mean a further downward adjustment?
Our current information is that they will be able to provide the 600,000 doses as promised in the second quarter of the year. And that means 600,000 people fully vaccinated because it's a single dose vaccine, which is very helpful. But instead of that arriving, you know, in even amounts in April, May and June, we now anticipate that it'll be a relatively small amount arriving in April and then more in May and then the bulk of it in June. So That's it's the same amount, but it is a further delay, unfortunately.
Yes, and there are, with these delays, significant implications for trying to reopen the economy. Yesterday, the OECD calling for faster and more effective vaccination. They say it's critical to ensure economic recovery around the world. Governments, they say, need to get on a war footing. Are what we hearing anything approaching a war footing?
Well, you know, the vaccine program is going as fast as it possibly can. As soon as the vaccine arrives in the country, within a week, it's in people's arms, usually within 3 days. And it's not that we're waiting around, you know, for the truck to arrive from Brussels with vaccines in it. You know, we have secured additional doses. We did that early on, an extra 160,000 Pfizer vaccines that weren't taken up by other countries. We are in direct contact with some of the manufacturers, many of whom have a significant presence in Ireland, and they're doing all they can for us. And there's state aid available if they want to adapt their plants, for example, to produce vaccines here in Ireland. And we have been in touch with other countries. But bear in mind, there aren't any other countries that have a surplus at the moment. The United Kingdom next door, it's doing extremely well, but they've still only vaccinated about 30% of their population on the first round. It'll be a long time before they finish the first round, never mind the second round. So by the time other countries have a surplus, we may have enough.
Yeah. So nothing from the UK. Have we approached, for example, Israel?
I'm not aware of any contacts with Israel, but certainly we've been in touch with other EU countries. You know, there was a suggestion out there that they had unused AstraZeneca vaccines, but that's due to slowness in administering the vaccines in their countries. They're not selling, to put it that way.
So is the implication of all this, Tánaiste, that very much the economy will remain in lockdown, remain much of it closed as it is at the moment through April and well into May as well?
Well, what we made very clear in the plan when we published a few weeks ago is that we would review the situation in the run-up to the 5th of April. And we said that the only kind of restrictions that we could see being eased in April would be construction, the 5 kilometre rule, and allowing more activities outdoors. And that remains the case. You know, even if the number of vaccines is slightly behind schedule, we're making very good progress in terms of suppressing the virus. Yesterday, and I know it's only one day, but yesterday we recorded the lowest number of cases, the lowest incidence in the European Union, which, you know, was a big turnaround from where we were back in January. Numbers in ICU below 100 now, numbers in hospital below 400. So we're very much going in the right direction. And, you know, I think that the delay in the vaccine deliveries won't prevent us from easing restrictions on the 5th of April, but we only ever intended to do some very modest easing anyway.
So something on the 5K, maybe construction and some outdoor gatherings, retail, click and collect, that's much further down the line, is it?
Well, click and collect is something that's allowed in level 5, but the reopening of non-essential retail stores, that would be further down the line.
I thought click and collect had been banned for the moment. You can have things delivered, yes.
Yes, but it is permitted, like construction, it is permitted in level 5. So it is something that could be considered for April, but not the opening of non-essential retail.
All right. People are being told, Tánaiste, to stay at home, to work as far as possible from home if they are still working. But we have government ministers now travelling the country in search, at least some would say, of photo opportunities. Should Dara O'Brien be heading off on a 9-county tour this month?
Well, as you know, ministers are counted as essential workers, and while it's not happening very much, we are permitted to travel outside of our counties for essential work, and that is what he's doing. And it is, you know, it is done with all the precautions, with social distancing and all the precautions that you'd expect to be in place.
He's been to Balbriggan already, Cavan and Longford on Friday. He'll be in Sligo and Galway on Monday. It's Carlow and Navan Friday of next week. He'll be in Limerick and Cork. Is that essential, do you think?
Well, in fairness, Balbriggan is his own constituency, so I don't think it's too much of a surprise that he might go there.
So we'll give him one of the 9 then.
You know, he's doing very significant work in terms of the work that's being done around the Urban Regeneration Fund, which is being allocated at the moment, and that's the reason for those visits. But like I say, by and large, ministers are either staying in their constituencies or staying in their departments or government buildings.
And they should be looking, should they, at every proposed trip and really asking themselves, is it essential?
That's what every minister is asked to do. And if they do make a trip that's deemed essential, then it's important that they make sure that they take all the precautions around, around social distancing and minimising the number of people present at meetings and all of those things.
Just finally, Tánaiste, we'll be talking a little later in the programme to Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin about an ad that Sinn Féin supporters in America have put in US papers today calling for a border poll and for the Irish government to, I quote, promote and plan for Irish unity. Mm. What's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I don't have any objection to Sinn Féin running ads in American newspapers in support of reunification. It's a legitimate aspiration and one that I share and one my party shares. What I do have a problem with is that Sinn Féin is an obstacle to Irish unity. They have a relationship with unionism that is one of mutual hostility, which is a big problem, and they're sectarian. You know, they're still very anti-British. They have no Protestant TDs, MLAs or senators. And I believe that for a united Ireland to be achieved, and I think it can be achieved in our lifetime, and for it to be a success, we need to talk about unity among people. A bit like Nelson Mandela talked about when he changed South Africa, being a rainbow nation. And that means accepting that there are a million people on the island who are British, that their national identity is as valid as ours, that the flag is orange as well as green. And that's just not the way Sinn Féin thinks. You know, Sinn Féin tend to scare off the middle ground, and they're an obstacle to unity in that regard.
But we also know that we also know that the demographics are changing in Northern Ireland, and that Brexit has certainly very radically changed the context in which we discuss the constitutional future of the island, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I think we need to discuss it in a different way too. You know, you talked about demographics. You know, a sectarian headcount isn't the right pathway to a united Ireland, in my view. It has to be about reaching out to people. It has to be about respecting their national identity. It has to be about building a different state, one that it respects the diversity of a modern Ireland. It's not about that old-fashioned nationalism. You know, that's very sectarian, very anti-British that Sinn Féin represents. And that, of course, puts off the middle ground in Northern Ireland. But I think there's one element of hypocrisy in their ad, which I couldn't not mention. And, you know, this is a party that had a spokesperson last week saying that US troops should be out of Shannon. Bet they didn't tell the Ancient Order of Hibernians about that. Okay. This is a party that last week was backing the Chinese government. I bet they didn't tell the American labour unions about that. So Sinn Féin has a face for every occasion.
We'll perhaps have an opportunity to hear Michelle O'Neill's response a bit later. But for the moment, Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, thanks for talking to us here on the News at One. Well, let's now